Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Best Fit Body Podcast. I'm Elle, and I have my co-host Jules here with me today for another episode. Today's episode, we're going to be answering a question from one of you. I received a DM on Instagram a couple days ago, and I thought it was a great question. And so we're going to dive into that and give all of our answers surrounding this. It's a pretty basic question, but we have a lot to say about it, and there's a lot of different circumstances that could change the way that we answer this question. So excited about that today. It's a little bit of a different style episode, but I think you guys are going to like it a lot. But before we dive into that, I just wanted to remind you all that we have a couple different programs that we offer for potential clients. And one of the most popular ones, especially for this time of year, before we enter into the holidays, is our basic training lifestyle program. And this is for anybody that is looking to change up their lifestyle, make solid habits. A lot of the stuff that we talk about in our Creating Healthy Habits episode that we recorded just a few weeks ago, you can check that out if you're interested. So our basic training program is a monthly program, and it covers all the basics, everything that you need in order to get through the holidays and start the new year without feeling like you wasted any time. So if you have fitness goals, if you have health goals, if you're looking for some accountability, looking for a program to follow, you can check out that program and a bunch of our other offerings on our website, bestfitbody.com. And you can reach out to us through the website or through Instagram. Any way you want to reach us, we will get back to you. So Jules, how are you? How are you today? What's going on?
I am doing great. I am, as always, excited to be here sharing our topic today. And we love when people do send us questions or feedback, ideas for topics to cover. But we love to hear from you on things that you would like to hear us cover. So, Elle, why don't you dive in and go ahead and read the question we got?
Sure. So the question, pretty straightforward. Love it. Do you recommend weighing yourself every day or on a weekly basis when in a cut? And I loved this question. And I replied back to her with a long-winded answer. And I said to myself, we got to talk about this on the podcast because we get this question quite often. And even when working with our clients, we have different methods in tracking progress when somebody is in a cut. So I thought this was a great question. Jules, do you want to kind of cover what a cut means for anybody that still isn't quite sure what that entails?
Yeah, sure. So for most people, when they are talking about a cut, it usually means they're in, I like to use another word, a dial-in phase of some aspect of their physique. So for a person, for example, this is one type of a cut, somebody who has been working on building their physique through improving their muscle conditioning, maybe muscle mass, maybe aesthetics of balance, and they've been probably living in a degree of a what we call a surplus with their caloric intake to encourage their bodies to improve those aspects. And then the cut is the next phase to dial back and put yourself in a caloric deficit to some degree to reveal what you've been working on. So that's the concept. And it is used often in the physique world, you know, the bodybuilding world. But there are lots of people who are physically active and working on health and fitness goals who know the process of building and then revealing. So cutting is a little bit different from just a traditional, I have to lose weight concept. And this question is a very specific question, which I love, but there's a lot of generalities to this. So that's why we really wanted to offer this as something for people to listen to. So that's the concept of a cut.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I think that's great the way that you put that. a cut usually comes after a period of either intentional maintenance or intentional building slash, we don't love to use the word bulking, but a time of a surplus where you are intentionally trying to improve your physique by putting on muscle and usually trying to limit body fat gain, but that's not always possible. Sometimes you are going to gain body fat if you are trying to build muscle. And so the cut is a dedicated period of time, and it typically has a time limit. We don't encourage people to cut indefinitely. We like to, if it is going to be a specific cut, a calorie deficit, we do kind of like to see an end date where once you reach the end date, you can either decide, okay, I want to do this for 4 more weeks, I want to do this for 8 more weeks, or you decide, okay, now I'm going to shift back into maintenance and kind of work on this cycle essentially until you are satisfied with a physique that you feel that you can maintain comfortably. Does that make sense?
I think it makes sense. I hope it makes sense for our listeners out there too. And this is something that, again, for the people who are out there listening, who are either in the bodybuilding world or they're curious about how this all works within the bodybuilding world, people do know that it isn't just a one and done thing for the most part. If you really want to affect the changes in your body, it is a process. And it is not a fast process. So when somebody asks the specific question, because I want to always keep in mind as we're talking about this, what the original question is, this person in this cut didn't really give us any information about the length of time. So answering that question, I'm going to kind of throw out some scenarios. I think that this will help, especially if you're out there listening and you might fall into some of these different scenarios. So let's use the example that this person's been working on building up some muscle, probably, as Elle mentioned, increase some body fat over a period of time with a muscle gain. And now they're turning the corner and starting the process to dial in. So if this person is looking at a longer term process. So what I'm talking about is likely, I'm going to say generally more than 12 weeks. So, you know, maybe this person is looking at a 16 to 18 week cut, which is a very common cycle that a lot of people will go through when they are prepping for a show. Okay, this doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to compete, but it is often a realistic time frame. So it's not a fast process, it's a slow process. So if the person is at the beginning of this process, I don't recommend weighing yourself daily, because you're going to hear us repeat the reasons and it's going to carry over a lot, but often a daily weight when you've got a longer term goal can pretty much drive you crazy. So watching the daily fluctuations can be exciting, but it also can be confusing. It also can be frustrating. And sometimes it actually can be informational. So if you're working alone, so if you're planning your own cut, and you're not really able to step back and look at things objectively as to why the daily fluctuations are happening. And I'm not going to go into all those details now, but if you're looking at, you know, those daily fluctuations and they're starting to affect you in a negative way, what that means is that might lead to discouragement, because you're looking and saying, oh, my weight went up, you know, 0.2 pounds today. And, you know, yesterday I was down 0.4 pounds. I must be doing something wrong. That might lead you astray. So especially at the very beginning, when your body is just kind of getting into the groove of it, a once a week weighing can give you an idea of the trend. And so for people who may be working on weight loss in general, once a week will give you the trends over time. Now, if we're looking at somebody, Elle, do you have anything to say about the long term before I go on to another scenario?
No, I'll let you keep going.
Okay. I just want to make sure. So now if we're getting closer, say now we've got that 18-week dial in and we're getting down to, and things have been moving along really well, and we're getting now maybe down to the last couple of weeks as we are reaching towards the deadline. A daily weight can give you an idea of, do I just stay with this or do I need to make some changes as I get closer? Because when we're further away from that goal, I find, and working with a gazillion people, if we change things too rapidly, it doesn't give us an opportunity to let the work you're doing actually reveal itself. And one of the things about long-term goals in a dial-in is that we don't necessarily want weight to fly off of you rapidly. And I'm talking about working with somebody who is not adding any performance enhancement drugs. So if you're just working with what you got, you know, with your body, with your nutrition, with your training, then changing things too rapidly can sometimes confuse the body, but also a cut needs patience. And that's one of the biggest things is when you're planning a cut, I usually recommend that you leave enough time for your body to respond, because what you do today is not necessarily going to show up tomorrow. So those daily weights are going to really kind of mess your brain up. But if we can look at it over the longer term, that's going to be a little bit more helpful. But when we get down to those last couple of weeks, when you don't have as much time and you're maybe seeing things that you like, but you're ready to put the gas on, then that daily weighing, because we don't have the luxury of time as much, the daily weighing can sometimes help. But you, again, you can't let the daily fluctuations mess with the master plan of sticking with the plan.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add there?
Yeah, a lot of things that I would like to add, covering a bunch of different points that you talked about. First, I think that what you said about the beginning of the cut, say it was a 16-week, we'll just use that as an example right now. Say it was a 16-week cut, those first 2 weeks can really go one or two ways. You can either, some people will experience their weight flying off those first 2 weeks. Other people will not see anything happen for those first 2 weeks. There's an in-between in there too, where you see some loss, but it kind of depends on how tidy your nutrition was before you started the cut, or how kind of out of control it was. Because I'm sure most people know that if you go on a 5-6 day binge and then you cut calories and you start dieting, that water weight is probably going to come off pretty quickly. If you're somebody that's eating at maintenance and then, or a slight surplus, and then you drop your calories a little bit, you may not see that weight fly off right away. And so you can either get that feeling of, and I hate to put good and bad on these things, but for most people that are going to be entering into a cut, it is going to be a positive thing to see the weight start to come off. And so you can either experience elation or disappointment in those first couple weeks, depending on what the scale says. And so by putting less of the emphasis on what the scale says every day and more emphasis on the habits and the activities and the behaviors that you are executing for those first couple weeks, it's not going to matter if you do weigh yourself every single day or if you weigh yourself once a week. Now, if weighing yourself every day does not affect you, good or bad, it's just data, most people would, I think, like to be able to view it that way. That is a more difficult thing to, I guess, wrap your brain around. I will say most people that are a little bit more advanced in this process, so maybe it's not your first rodeo, but you wouldn't necessarily need us to answer this question if this was your 10th rodeo, right? You would know. So that's kind of what I would like to add in about those first couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And I do strongly encourage anybody who is looking at working on a cut
find other parameters that are going to measure the changes that your body is experiencing. So for example, you know, how do you look? Or maybe there is an article of clothing that when you put it on, that it fits differently. You know, maybe the waist of your jeans is looser, or a belt is getting tighter, or a bra strap, you're closing one loop tighter. You know, those measurements that can sort of support the efforts that you're doing, because the scale doesn't always, and I say this all the time to our clients. And when I'm asked this question, when we weigh ourselves on a scale, it is weighing our total mass. It is weighing the gravitational pull of your body against the center of the earth and everything that you're composed of and what your body is holding on to. So it could be extra water. It could be undigested food. It could be inflammation in the muscles from a training session. So there's a lot of reasons why a daily fluctuation, or even, you know, you might weigh yourself on every Sunday and from one Sunday to another. And we see this all the time with our competitive athletes, especially when they're getting super lean, the weight change is not that great. And if you've been working on, and I run into this all the time, and I'm sure Elle does as well, when we have a competitor who comes off of a show season and, you know, then they go into an improvement season and one of their goals is to improve their muscle conditioning, their muscle density, maybe even just more volume of muscle, more mass. And then when they go and they start to dial in their brain, they have that weight that they started their build at, and they think, oh, I have to get back to that weight. So maybe they started the build at 120, they had an improvement season, they got up to 135, and now they're dialing back and they're thinking, oh my gosh, if I don't get to 120, what's it going to be? But if you've built some muscle, we hope you don't end up at 120 because we don't want you to burn away all of the muscle. There's no guarantee. You could end up at 120 or 118 and looking leaner and having more muscle. But that's the whole point. You won't really know until you get there. So don't get hung up on the number of that. Use it as a data point. And that's what weighing yourself really is, just a data point.
And that is exactly why we don't just focus on the scale. And it is a tool, but at the end of the day, it's not going to tell you what your body composition is. And over time, over the last, I would say, 10 years since we've been doing this, I do think a lot of women and men out there too, but a lot of women have begun to understand that their weight isn't the only thing that's going to dictate how they look. And that strength training is really the key to seeing those body composition changes. And it's a really freeing feeling to be able to say, I always thought that in order for me to look good, I had to be 140 pounds. And women have learned that you can be 165 pounds and look better at 165 pounds than you did when you were that 130 pounds. And at the end of the day, it's really empowering to say, you know, screw the scale. I don't need the scale to tell me that I've made progress or to tell me that I look good. And, you know, for myself and for a lot of my clients, we stay away from the scale at certain points during your fitness journey, because that is not going to be the only indicator of progress. It's going to be, how do my workouts feel? How are my clothes fitting? How do I feel? Am I confident? Do I feel comfortable getting dressed every day? Not what some silly little thing on the floor is going to tell me. It doesn't matter. You don't walk around with a big sign on your head saying how much you weigh, right? So if you have confidence and you have that ability to feel good without that number being something, the scale is great at times. And during a situation like we are talking about today, where you clearly do want to lose weight or body fat, you may do a cut and you may lose only 5 pounds over the span of 12 weeks and you're happy with how you look.
That is so very, very true. And it is also
you could turn this concept also into that body fat percentage measurement, because so this question was about weight, but I am often asked the question about what body fat should I be, or what body fat do I need to be for a competition? And I always answer by saying, well, your body fat numbers or your weight when you get up onto a stage, if you're going to be doing a competition, except for if you need to meet a weight class as such as in bodybuilding, that's really the only category that, you know, just so that they can group people a little closer, you know, so there's a big difference between somebody who is 145 pounds and somebody who's 245 pounds. And for the comparison of that, but in terms of you stepping up on stage, nobody knows what your weight is. And so it is really often, what do you look like? How do you like what you see? If you look at yourself and say, look, I'm seeing noticeable improvements. I'm seeing, you know, when I work out, I'm seeing my shoulders popping a little bit. Or, hey, look, I can see my triceps. Or, you know, across my abs, I can see some more definition there. Those are all really much more positive reinforcements of a cut being successful. So if you're in that process yourself, and this happens, you know, for everyday people, they say, hey, you know what, I'm going on a trip, or I'm going to my class reunion, or, you know, I'm getting married and I have a low cut dress off my shoulder and I want to do a cut so that I can reveal a more aesthetically pleasing physique, you know, because this is also, what do you want to get from that? But having somebody who is working with a coach, and I don't know if this person who is asking this question to us is actually working with a coach or doing his or her own manipulation along the way, but it can be, again, a measurement to see if the progress is moving you along in that one parameter.
Yeah. And so I just want to share a little bit of what I had responded back to her, because I wrote a little bit to her and it was very straight to the point what I suggest. And I want to share that with all of you, because I don't know if we touched on why it may be helpful. We talked about it possibly being beneficial because of weight fluctuations towards kind of that tail end of the cut. This is kind of what I said to her. So I said, it depends on how much reading the scale is going to impact you mentally, like we touched on before. But I said, it may be helpful. And this is for a reason why maybe you do want to be aware of what the scale says every day. So I told her that you may find it helpful to weigh every day because you can see the fluctuations. It's normal for your weight to fluctuate throughout the week, especially for women that have a menstrual cycle. Throughout all four phases of your cycle, you may experience different things. Your hormones are changing. So that may play into how much water you're holding on to. And so if you are only weighing yourself once per week, so say that you weigh in every Saturday and you're only weighing once per week, you may not see that you might have hit a low weigh-in in the middle of the week. It's best to kind of weigh yourself maybe after a lot of sleep. So maybe that is Saturday or Sunday where you've gotten a long night's rest, but you may end up with a low weigh-in in the middle of the week if you're not weighing every day. And so you may even gain weight on that one day that you've weighed in. If you're only weighing on Saturdays and maybe you were out late on Friday night, you didn't necessarily go over your calories, but you got a little amount of sleep, you may weigh in on Saturday and have gained 2 pounds. And that goes back to what we said earlier in the episode, that may impact you. Oh, I'm not losing weight. Why did I gain 2 pounds this week? And unfortunately, sometimes that can cause a little bit of a spiral, right? I didn't lose any weight. Oh, fine, when I go out to eat tonight, I'm just going to get a drink and just going to eat pizza because I'm not losing weight anyway. Why am I putting in all of this hard work and I'm not losing weight? Sometimes weighing every day in a situation like that could be helpful because you could see maybe you had lost 2 pounds this week on Thursday. Maybe it went up a half pound on Friday, and then maybe from Friday to Saturday, it went up another pound and a half. So there you go on Saturday. 2 pounds up from what you weighed in the last Saturday. So sometimes it can be helpful because you may miss the low weigh-ins that are actually showing. Because a lot of times during a cut, this has happened to me, this happens to my clients all the time, I'll see them weigh in with like 1.5, 2 pounds lost at one time. And then a couple of days later, they'll weigh in and they're back up 3 pounds. And then they maintain there for a little while. And then all of a sudden, we get this like whoosh effect, and then 3 pounds come off. So seeing those and understanding that the body will fluctuate and sometimes does shoot up right before it's about to drop into a new low, that can make you feel a little bit better. Like, okay, it's okay that it fluctuates. It's okay that it goes up and down. And almost the practice of that makes you a little bit more comfortable with the idea, my weight's going to fluctuate. Sometimes I'm going to be 5 pounds up. I'm going to look in the mirror and say, oh shoot, my period's coming. This happens to me all the time. And a lot of times I'm like, oh, why am I so bloated? Why do I feel so bad? And then I'm like, oh, I'm about to get my period, or like things like that. And once you can put rationale behind it and it's not emotional, it can make you feel a little bit better.
Yes, I have to totally agree. And this is often when people will ask, well, how often should I weigh? I'll turn around and ask them, when you weigh yourself, if the scale goes up, how do you feel? And if you weigh yourself and the scale goes down, how do you feel? And if you weigh yourself and the scale doesn't do anything, how do you feel? And if you can answer that question of, okay, I just look at it and say, okay, that's what my weight is, enter it into whatever tracking that you have that you use, and then go about your day and not have it change your decisions on how you're going to go about your day, then go ahead and weigh yourself every day. A lot of times people will ask me if I weigh myself every day. And I go through phases where I weigh myself every day, and I go through phases where I don't weigh myself every day. And I look at the scale as more of a data collection. And if you can look at that and not have it be emotional, then weigh yourself as often as you want. But if the scale does kind of trigger those little emotions, and you'll know within seconds, like when you see that number, do you get on and off the scale 5 times to check it? Well, okay, you can do that because you might want to double check, you know, do you sneeze? Do you make sure your hair is dry? I mean, like all this kind of stuff.
Do you go to the bathroom again?
Go to the bathroom again? Do you make sure, you know? So it's the same when people send us check-in photos, you know, because somebody will say, oh, you know, I'm sending you the pictures. I didn't want to send them in because I didn't get to do them when I woke up in the morning fasted like I normally do. And I say, I know the difference between a full belly and a fat belly. I don't say it exactly like that, but there is a distinct difference. And so, you know, the more you get to know what your body is and the more you feel it, you know, sometimes it can be surprising. You wake up and you feel lean and mean and you hop on the scale and this number doesn't match what you think. If you go, okay, and then you move on, that's okay. Then you can weigh yourself every day. But if you're like, oh man, I don't understand it, then you're reading too much into the number. And, you know, unless you can gather a lot of that information about what's happening with the scale, then look back and reflect back if what you're focusing in, you know. So say you're weighing yourself every day and you're working on a cut and you've got this period of time with a deadline approaching and you're weighing yourself every day and the scale is not budging or going up, and you're not seeing visual changes, well, then clearly all those things come into effect that you have to analyze. What are you doing? You know, do you need to change something? But if you're doing everything that you need to be doing and you're weighing yourself every day and you're okay with that and maybe nothing has happened yet, then you're faced with the choice of, do I just stick with it a little bit longer or do I make some change? And we clearly can't answer that question because it's a really based individually on what's been going on. But that, I think, often when people try to coach themselves through it, there's usually some emotion involved and it gets really hard just to stick with the consistency that is usually needed to get the job done.
Yeah, I like that you said that because it is, a lot of it is about, one, the consistency, and then looking at the data, okay, nothing is changing, or maybe yes, things are changing. And if things are changing and you have a timeline of like 12 to 16 weeks for a cut, I generally recommend, unless you are someone that is getting on stage, but for general lifestyle people, I like to try to make it so they are going as long as possible, seeing changes before I have to make another change, before I have to add more cardio or add another day of strength training or decrease calories. And if I'm going to do any of those things, I try to do one at a time, or maybe I do a very small addition for cardio. So maybe that means that we add in another 20-minute session, or we add in a 30-minute session, or we tack on 15 minutes to two of your sessions and a small calorie change. But I don't generally make massive changes to all factors at once. So sometimes I'll just change something like nutrition, or I'll just change cardio, or I'll change a little bit on both sides to allow the body to, like Joel said before, adapt and accept the fact that they're making changes. Just like I said at the beginning, you may be somebody that in the first 2 weeks, you see little to no change. That may be an indication that you either need to stick it out a little bit longer, or you need to make a change to nutrition or cardio, maybe both. But a lot of this depends. And that's what makes the generalized advice that we're giving complicated. But I think it's important for you to understand that a lot of the process of building muscle and losing body fat, a lot of it just depends. And a lot of it is trial and error. And luckily, Jules and I have been coaching people for a long time. We tend to know the patterns in which things work. But sometimes we are throwing something at the wall and seeing if it sticks. And if it sticks, we say, great, let's keep going until it starts to fall off the wall a little bit. And then we try something else. So for you, if you are somebody that's trying to handle it and trying to do it on your own, you just got to hang on and keep trying. And if you're finding that things are getting stuck, you're not making any changes, hold out just a couple more days before making a change and don't let it get you frustrated, and so that you end up spiraling and then making it harder for you to reach that goal because you couldn't just hold on. It's tough. It's a tough process.
It's a tough process. I always say the key to success in any of these things that we work on in our health and fitness is really the patience and the consistency. And sometimes people will say, oh, well, maybe I just need to do more. Maybe I just need to be more aggressive. And I often will say, well, unless you have an aggressive timeline, being aggressive will turn around and kick you in the butt. So if you have the luxury of having the time, make it a little more pleasant on yourself through the experience, make it more manageable on yourself. Because another question that wasn't really necessary for us to, you know, ask this person who sent this question in, but it is something for you, if you're the listener, to think about if you're listening to this and thinking about it, or you're in your own cut, is what happens when you arrive at that place? You know, what is your next goal from there? You know, if you're going just to do a little short-term cut to see what's happening, and then you're going to go back into a build, of course, that's going to affect your aggressiveness or your rate of working. But thinking about, well, what after, you know, this cut?
Yeah, that's a good point, because you don't want to get to the end of the cut and, oh, I'm done. Like, that's it. I'm done. Look, I did it. Because that's kind of a recipe for disaster in terms of gaining weight back, especially if you are someone that is doing kind of an aggressive cut, not necessarily timeline wise, but aggressive in terms of how far you're going, like how lean you want to get, how much weight you want to lose, how low your calories get. You have to be prepared for what it's going to look like when you do reach that end timeline. And this is something that we say in general for clients, is our goal really is to help you find a calorie intake and an exercise frequency and level of intensity that is sustainable. Cuts, generally, the calories that you get to at the end of the cut, the body fat that you get to at the end of the cut, generally isn't the maintainable area. There generally is like a little bit of that fluctuation. And again, it depends on how far you go. If you just do a small cut and you are, this is general because it's not going to apply to anybody, but say 1700 calories is where you end the cut. for somebody, that may be a maintainable calorie intake. You've lost a couple pounds and you're happy there. You can maintain there. But if you are somebody that did the aggressive cut in terms of how much cardio you're doing, how many calories you're eating, there is a phase of finding the appropriate calorie intake from there that is for you to maintain and live a healthy and happy life. But in the process of cutting and building, it takes a little while to get you there.
Yeah. And you may, like we said, you know, go into another build phase and then another cut phase. But then at least, you know, as you go through this, if this is something that is a personal goal, you know, then your expectations and understanding hopefully get better.
Yeah. So hopefully this covered everything about this question. And for any of you listening to this episode, doing a cut by yourself, thinking about doing a cut by yourself, hopefully it answered some of these things for you and helps you have a clear head going into this process. And we love the questions. So anytime you have a topic, even a simple question like this, we clearly can talk loads about it. So send them our way. An Instagram DM to my Instagram or our team Instagram is perfectly fine. An email, anything. We love the questions.
Yes, absolutely. Keep them coming.
Awesome. Well, we hope you guys have a great week and you'll hear from us very soon.